Notes from the Upper West Side, a novel by Dan Wrench.
Chapter 128, A Night at the Tavern. When I got to the tavern, it was the usual spaz house of drunks and show-offs. Chicks laughing too loud, fags kissing while waiters held trays and waited, non-fags drinking hard to help them forget their pork-ugly zittiness and looking around for any waiter not hovering over the kissing fags. There was at least one chick at the bar surveying the scene for available meat she might be able to tolerate for an hour. She did not look happy. I just got in the front door and was about halfway to the bar when I saw Jono come charging out in a football t-shirt and jeans. He had a big smile on his face, and when he saw me, he laughed and said, "You gotta let me through, Pablo." Then he did this dance that was just him bobbing left and right like I was a lineman trying to keep him from reaching his goal. Then he stopped fast and clapped my shoulder and laughed. Where are you going, Jono? I sort of whined. Don't you have a shift tonight?
Nope! Just came in to get my check. Taking Marcella to Miami,
he roared.
Adios!
He laughed and ran past me to the door. Just before going through, he spun around and gave me a little bye-bye wave with his hand. Then he laughed again and was gone. Yeah, see ya, I said in my brain. I remembered Fern telling me Jono's wife liked taking meat in Miami, and it seemed to me he went there a lot. Oh well, the tavern was going to be a much bigger drag without Jono around. I loped a few steps to the employee coat rack in the back. Carrie Edwarski was pouring drinks behind the bar. Carrie was another co-worker who wore sneakers with a slight lift so you couldn't take your eyes off her ass. A former gut lugger who found a gym. You know, the sort of chick you get used to ignoring until you find yourself striking up conversations with her like the two of you just met on the day she turned fuckable. Her face was a perpetual frown. Even when she was laughing, you had to go by the sound alone because the edges of her mouth pointed down like they were stapled there. But what a mouth. Even as a fatty, the cockgobbler lips and big eyes made a regular appearance in my fantasies. And as soon as she started losing the weight, forget it. For an entire spring, she was the main reason I was in the shower a split second after I got back to the app each night. Now she's blowing some associate professor at NYU. As I skirted behind the counter, I noticed Carrie staring at me like she expected me to look up, so I did. She just kept staring with her fish frown framed by cock gobblers. Then she shook her head slightly. I'm 5 minutes late, for fuck's sake, I carped. I had to walk here from 51st and 6th. It's true, I walked from Whispers. But only because I was too distracted by introspecting on the implications of the factory gang laughing at me to hail a cab or hop a bus. Carrie rolled her eyes and looked away. That's right. I'm not even worth talking to. Yeah, you've got a life. Run off and blow your boyfriend. We all remember your big fat gut. The place reeked of bleach like my kitchen at home. Bleach! I threw on my apron and glared at Femboy Frankie in his stupid white apron. He got it in his head about a year before that a really good worker is always cleaning like he's a deckhand on a fishing boat. It never occurred to him that a bar is supposed to smell like suds and coffee. And not like if you take a deep breath, you'll singe your lungs. Christ, am I the only person who knows this? Then came the attack of the cinder block. Bad enough, I'm a gnat's butt cheek. away from a nervous breakdown induced by introspecting without benefit of Paximander. But just as I wheel around to face the customers, some old femme with a face like a cinder block blows a silver medal referee's whistle as hard as she can. I thought I could feel my heart stop for a sec. Sometimes I think I can still hear that whistle, like it scarred my eardrums. The woman who blew it, Cinderblock face, she was 2 feet from me. I wanted to find a fork and jam it in her eyeball. She was sitting across a table from some guy with his mouth open and his eyes squinting and his face stubbly and his gut bloated and a cap on his head with the Popular Demand logo on it. Carrie went out to speak to the Cinderblock, and she was really polite, like they teach us at the yearly customer intercourse seminar.
Hi, ma'am. Could you, not, like, blow that whistle?
She was wearing this big smile that must have ripped out the staples keeping her frown in place. She leaned over to talk to the inbred twat, so her hair kept falling in her face until she finally brushed it back behind her ears.
No, she's okay, she's okay.
The mouth-breathing bloke got across from the cinder block kept saying until Carrie turned to him and said,
Okay? What does okay mean? Cause, like, are you saying she won't do it anymore? Cause...
And right then, the cinder block blew the whistle again. Didn't laugh or anything, just blew her lungs out like there was a serious foul in the basketball game playing in her head. All the kids in the place, the 20-somethings, laughed their asses ragged. Carrie looked at the cackling onlookers and got quietly infuriated. Then, like a ninja or a samurai, she snatched the whistle away from the demented bag in one motion that came out of nowhere, like some kind of magic, right over the cinder block's head. Then she stalked away to behind the bar like she'd scored one against the dragon instead of against 2 mental cases from the sticks. Everyone applauded and cheered. The mouth-breathing bloat gut who was with the cinder block just stared around squinting. His mouth didn't close once, like swear to God nobody ever told him what the nose holes were for. About 5 minutes later, this guy was at the bar asking Carrie if he could have his sister's whistle back. Bloat Gut and Cinderblock had their coats on. She was over by the door. So Carrie slapped the whistle into Bloat Gut's open hand without looking at him, and the 2 mental cases slunk out onto the 50th Street sidewalk. The whole shift was like eating my mother-in-law's mound. Just barely on the plus side of the evening, I got to look up some skirts when 3 sluts bent over to prove some point to their boyfriends who laughed and looked embarrassed. I also got to flirt with some 40-something who wanted me to know she just got a new pair of bolt-ons from the plastic surgeon at the bolt-on store, and that she was wearing an open nipple bustier beneath her leather jacket. She laughed at my little jokes for a few minutes before giving me the move-along eye roll. That's right. Heave to, you fucking failure. The last thing I remember before freaking out was this hooker who obviously turned into the wrong bar. She had lips that were super red and super wet and super big, with an unlit cigarette stuck in their center. The urban advertisement for professional slurp. We made eye contact for a split second. Then she looked away. Even the hookers can see I'm a clown, my brain screamed.
Notes from the Upper West Side is a work of fiction. The people depicted in this work do not exist.
Notes from the Upper West Side. Copyright 2024 by Dan Wrench.